Good King Wenceslaus, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, children, we're just about completing now our first few weeks of school, the month of September. September is a month of the Holy Cross of our Lord and of the sorrows of our Blessed Mother. And sometimes it's a little bit of a sad month because we have to leave behind our summer vacation and buckle down to books and homework and coming to school and things. And of course, having weather like this doesn't help. The good Lord has sent us some weather to try us a little bit. It's sort of humid and not hot or cold. And we wish we could have some nice sunny days again, at least for recess. So it's a cheery thought, isn't it, to think, as we should today, why, it's only 3 months until Christmas, till our Lord's birthday. And in that spirit, we keep today one of the Christmas saints. We think of him that way, Saint Wenceslaus. And before Mass, you sang that Christmas carol that tells about his many deeds of charity during the night, when no one even knew. He would very quietly, with just a servant to help him, bring food and fuel, that would be coal probably, to poor people who were shivering and hungry in their little hovels in his country, which was called Bohemia, and today it's called the Czech Republic. One of the great treasures of that land, children, still today, its capital is the beautiful city of Prague, is the Divine Infant, the Infant of Prague. And so I'm saying that at the Mass today, I'm saying the third collect of the Infant of Prague to bless us all so that he will be our little king. Some of you have some Czech blood, I think, and Mrs. Bischel is Czech, I know for sure, from her background, so that means Peter and Nathan and Grace and some of you others, you have some Czech blood in you, so today could be kind of a patron saint for you, for this wonderful saint. We say he was one of the best kings ever, although he wasn't actually a king, he was a duke, and he was part of the Holy Roman Empire. This is his story. He was born when his country was half Christian and half pagan. He had a wonderful grandmother himself, and her name was Saint Ludmilla, and she raised her son, the Prince Ratislav, to be a good Catholic. Well, unfortunately, he made a bad marriage. People sometimes do. And he married a wicked pagan woman whose name was Drahomira. She was just as bad as her name sounded. Well, they had two boys, and one boy was raised a Catholic, and that's our saint. And the other boy was raised a pagan, and his name was Voslav. But eventually, he did receive the grace of conversion. Ratislav, Wenceslaus' father, died when he was rather young, and St. Ludmilla, his Catholic grandmother, gave him a good training in her castle. In the meantime, the wicked Drahomira, a pagan woman, was ruling over the kingdom, and it was the saddest and the most sinful place. And nobody was happy because they weren't serving the good God, and they didn't know about Our Lady and the saints and things. Well, some of the Christian nobles said to young Wenceslaus, you know, you really should have a rebellion and take over the land because you're the rightful king anyway, and besides, your mother's a wicked old queen, and we don't want her anymore. So he did. They had a rebellion to put the right king, it was his right after all, upon the throne, and for a while all was well. That is to say, he was just the best king you could imagine. Not only, as we sang in the carol, did he go about doing works of charity at night, but he did great penance, children. He would go out barefoot. And his servant, the one in the carol, was complaining about how cold his feet got, tramping through the snow at midnight. Well, he told his servant, walk in my footsteps, which is a good thing. Any saint could say that to us. Walk in my footsteps and you'll stay warm, the warmth of God's love. Well, his footsteps shone in the moon of Christmastide. He could see that his feet were bare, Wenceslaus's were. He was doing penance. And his footsteps were bloody. That was one of the penances that he offered up. And in addition to that, he loved the Holy Mass so much, he considered it such a privilege, that he himself used to raise the grapes and the wheat. He had a garden out back of his palace, and he would grind the wheat into flour for the bread for the sacred host, to be consecrated, and he would make the wine as well for the cruet at the offertory. He loved the Mass very, very much. And he loved poor souls, and he loved those who were dying. And so he abolished as much as he possibly could capital punishment. He just had no truck with that at all. And he did everything to save even wicked criminals and to convert them. Sometimes he would just spare them. The land had been full of gallows where they hang people, and he had all of those taken down. But if someone had committed a particularly wicked crime and he couldn't get them off, at least not officially, he would go to see them at night. Our saint was a great one for doing things at night. Saints usually are. And they pray and do works of charity. And he would go to see a condemned prisoner at night, and he would tell him about our Lord and how good God is and how wicked it is to offend him and how terrible it would be for a soul to burn in hell. And he mustn't let that happen. And that he should see a priest to make a good confession. And if nothing else, sometimes he would give them money, because in those days, if you had enough money, it's a bit like today, you could buy your way out of almost any jam. And that way they wouldn't have to be executed after all. So all of his people loved him very much. And when he got married and had a son, people thought, right, now we're all set. But wouldn't you know, there were some pagan nobles, and they wanted to have the power for themselves. And first of all, what they did was that they executed Saint Ludmilla. They martyred her, and she was strangled in her own chapel with her chapel veil. And so she's a good saint for girls always to remember to veil their heads modestly when they come to church. Then after that, the wicked pagan nobles went after Saint Wenceslaus. And this is how it happened. Remember yesterday we had the feast day of the holy physicians without pay, Saints Cosmas and Damian? Well, Saint Wenceslaus' brother, Boleslaus, said to his brother, he said, King Wenceslaus, come to my castle and we'll have a party to celebrate, because at that time people had a great devotion to these two doctor saints. We'll have a party to celebrate these saints, and we'll make it a 3-day party, and we'll last all the way through Saint Michael the Archangel, which is tomorrow. So he went to the party, and everything seemed to be going very well. And Boleslaus was even speaking very well. King Wenceslaus, whenever he went to dinner, he made everybody say the Our Father first, even if they were pagans. And if they weren't pagans, if they were pagans and wouldn't say the Our Father, he had them taken out and punished. Everybody had to say a prayer together. Do you remember your grace after meals, even if no one's looking? I hope your guardian angel reminds you, children. Well, they had a great dinner and all was well. And the next morning, because he went to daily Mass, St. Wenceslaus was up early to go to the castle chapel and hear Mass. It was this day, the vigil of St. Michael the Archangel. And he comes across his brother Boleslaus with a couple of soldiers, his own personal soldiers. And he says to St. Wenceslaus, says to his brother, Boleslaus, he says, you are a very good subject to me yesterday. What does it mean to be a subject? Well, to be a subject means that you have to obey the orders of your superior. He says, you were a good subject to me yesterday. You were loyal and true. And Boleslaus wickedly responded to him, and he said, I will be an even better one to you today, your majesty. And with that, he took out his sword, and he attacked his brother. He tried to kill him, because he was a good Catholic prince. And they had a tussle and a fight. But St. Wenceslaus was outnumbered, because Boleslaus had a couple of pagan soldiers with him, and they finished the job, and they slew him right in front of the door of the chapel on his way in. Well, almost as soon as he died, he started working miracles, and everybody realized, we didn't just lose a king, he was a saint, and everyone loved him so very much. And God punished the wicked mother, Drahomira, because as it turned out, she had put her boy up to killing his own brother. And the earth opened up and swallowed her up, which happens every now and again in history when someone commits a sin that's just too terrible even to think about. But for Boleslaus, he received mercy. Why was that? Because St. Wenceslaus remembered, just as he was dying, to imitate our Lord and St. Stephen. Remember how the carol goes about on the feast of Stephen? And imitate them how? What were the final words of our Lord and St. Stephen? Forgive them. Father, forgive them. And because St. Wenceslaus prayed for Boleslaus to be forgiven, he was. And when God forgives children, he forgives. And so his brother received the grace not only to be sorry for his wicked deed of fratricide, it's called, a very bad kind of murder, but also to receive the Christian faith. So the story had a happy ending. After all, King Boleslaus got baptized and got all of his actual sins as well as original sin washed off his soul, and he became a good Christian monarch. Well, that's the story of the glorious king of Bohemia, good King Wenceslaus, children. Probably there's something for all of us in there. Let's pray to the little infant of Prague, who is supposed to be the king of all of us and all of our families, to bless us, especially today, and always to keep us cheery and happy with a Christmas kind of a spirit as we serve our Lord all year round. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.